Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 72 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And in this episode, I talked to Christian Stevenson, also known as DJ Barbecue. It's a really cool interview, really great. It's super casual. He's in his kitchen. He's cooking. It's almost like we're talking to him while he's doing a cooking show. His kids are there. They're jumping in and out. They're making slime. We talk to them about their favorite foods, but we get deep into barbecue, get kind of philosophical, talk about different ways to prepare meat. It's just, I'm laughing because it makes me smile when I think about this interview. We talk about his book. We talk about its history. He's from the United States, moved to England, talk about that journey there. We talk about his first book on Jamie Oliver's imprint, and then we talk about his new book. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this.
Cool. I'm just making dinner for the kids, and my friend Sarah's here. And Sarah has one of the best farms in the country where she raises animals for taste instead of yield. So she's brought me these lovely fillets to cook. And we've just had some of her lovely skirt. It was Angus and Dairy Cross. Yeah, Angus and Dairy Cross.
Oh, wow. That's a cool combination. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, Christian? How you doing today? I'm glad we finally got this worked out.
Frazier, say hi to Kevin. He's doing an interview with me about barbecue. Hey, this is Frazier.
Hey, what's up, Frazier? How are you?
Okay.
I'm fascinated by your brand and who you are and your background, and I know that I wanted to kind of get your history and hear, like, you grew up in the United States, right? The South?
Yeah, I grew up on the Mason-Dixon line, so I grew up in Maryland.
Okay.
And my mom's from the South, my dad's from the North. So mom's from Virginia Beach.
Okay.
Dad's from Iowa, so I would spend half the summer, you know, cooking barbecue and playing golf and jumping in lakes, you know, with my grandparents and my cousins and cruising the main strips in your Datsun, you know, 280ZX. And then summers I spent on the Atlantic fishing, like all day with granddaddy, who was a drill sergeant in the Army. So, but everybody, it was all about food. You know, we all were about food. Clam bakes, fish fries, and with grandpa, it was, you know, meat.
Okay.
Corn, lots of corn. So, and my father won me in a landmark court case in the 70s. And so I got raised by my father.
Oh, okay.
He taught me how to cook barbecue because his dad cooked barbecue. There's photos of my grandpa in the Dakotas with, like, you know, he loaded the car up with just tons of food, grills, and he would have like four chickens on a rotisserie. This is back in the day, you know, ribs. And Iowa's got a thing called loose meats, which sounds wrong, but it tastes right.
So he was like one of the forefront of this whole the barbecue scene, really.
Yeah, they were there. Well, I guess my dad just needed help cooking, you know, because he was a single dad raising my sister and I in the mid 70s.
So were you guys using an offset smoker, or were you using a giant grill, or?
We were using, weirdly, in my dad's neighborhood, every townhouse had a grill in the backyard as part of the house.
Okay.
And it was all piped in gas.
Oh, wow.
In the mains. So it was, you know, it was gas, and that, I guess it's a good way of learning, but as soon as I got a Weber, you know, then I went and bought three Langs.
Of course.
I bought a 108 Lang. I bought the Intimidator. And then I bought like a 60-inch Lang. I bought a 36-inch Lang, and I imported them over here. I was the first guy to import Lang over. And then just, you know, I think in my new book I wrote, and I know this is quite controversial, I go, the best thing you can do with a gas grill is take all the gas components out and put charcoal in it. You know?
that's such a great idea. So smart. So smart. It's, but there are people that are tried and true gas grillers. So it's, I can't disparage anybody that wants to grill meat, cook meat,
no,
smoke meat. No,
but the thing is, you can't get. I've been speaking to a lot of charcoal and woodsmen and chefs, and only with the really high end gas cookers can you get a hot enough sear.
For sure,
because you know, hydrocarbons are being released when you're cooking with gas, and that's just moisture. So you're not really getting the proper sear. unless you're just using a frying pan on it and you're using it as a plancha. That's fine. Uh-huh. But, you know, there's a dynamic property that happens when you cook the lignins and the cellulose and the hemicellulose is out of the wood or the charcoal, and that's where you get the proper sear.
No, exactly. So how did you end up in England? The journey from the Mason-Dixon line, what made you go across the pond? What was the impetus?
Oh my God, this musical's amazing. It's beautiful.
Can I see it?
Yeah. Oh, these are gorgeous. Look at these fillets, man.
Oh, killer. So killer.
Look at the fat on those fillets, man.
The striation is so great. That's perfect.
Oh. And it's only a 14-day dry age on those? Yeah, 14-day dry age.
Okay, cool.
Which is, you don't know, might go a minimal 3 weeks, but this doesn't need it. So,
like, were you in the barbecue scene at all in the United States?
I always cooked barbecue, and I mean, from the age of 6, I was cooking barbecue, and I, as a hobby.
Yeah.
And then I went into extreme sports for most of my life, so I've lived in an old school bus.
Okay.
And I traveled around the world in a school bus. I had a 76 Bluebird International school bus I bought out in Denver, and I lived out in Vail. We would just pack snowboarders, and then I would have a grill, and I would always just take a grill on tour, and cook, you know, cook over. I just like cooking over live fire. And then I had a TV series for 10 years in the UK called Rad. So it was skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing, and BMX.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So I kept bringing a grill on that tour, and I would leave it in the toilet so no one would do a number two in there, because I hated dropping tanks, you know, because once it bit me in the organ somewhere. So the executive producer of our show kept saying, Christian, quit trying to pigeonhole your love of barbecue into this youth TV kids show. All the kids want to do is watch skateboarding. They do not care about your barbecue. So when the series finished, that's when I just went fully into cooking. I was DJing on the banks of Loch Ness. You know, Loch Ness is where Nessie is.
Oh, of course. So, of course. I'm a little obsessed with Nessie, sadly.
It was called Rock Ness.
Rock Ness. All right.
On the banks of Loch Ness.
Oh, that is so cool.
I was DJing this festival, and I must have been like 15 people deep outside my tent. And the girls started taking their tops off. I mean, they're still wearing their bras, and the guys started taking their tops off. I'm looking at all these youthful kids, and I'm like going, what the hell am I going to do when I turn 50? You know, how am I going to grow? And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring my love of DJing with my love of barbecue and create a catertainment experience and create a destination at the festivals where people can come for the music or come for the food but stay for the other. And then they just
around.
So during the summer, we build sound systems and full smoking barbecue joints. We've got, you know, the 60-foot offset firebox Lang that does like 18-hour pulled pork on wild cherry and birch. We've got the 42-inch grill where we're doing these chuck flank brisket burgers with like bone marrow. And then we've got a spit that we cook whole top bit, like whole cow leg with the rump.
Oh, wow. We don't do that much here.
No. Well, you guys call it steamship round, but it's still not the whole
still
top
not, yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
No. Like Dr. Barbecue, he'll come over. Ray Lampy will be. He's the godfather of barbecue here. He comes over with Sandra, his missus, and she just eats our true roast beef. You know, that's true. Like in England, everybody does roast beef on Sundays, but they put it in the oven. And to me, that's baked beef. That's not roast beef. I don't want baked beef. You want baked beef, Kevin?
I do not want baked beef ever. No. I grew up on some baked beef, and it makes me sad remembering those days. But it's what made me a carnivore, but. It wasn't what it was. Now that I know the difference, it makes me sad.
Because it's just anemic, isn't it? Uh-huh. There's no, I guess, dynamic things happening when you kiss meat with fire.
Oh yeah, for sure. So then did you ever do pop up restaurants, or was it just the pop up at Rock Ness?
No. I was just doing all the festivals as a DJ.
Oh, okay.
Because I've always DJed. I mean, I think barbecue came first at the age of 6, then DJing came at the age of 18, and I just never put the two together. So I did lots of pop-ups in London, and then we started doing the festivals, and then it just took off.
Was there always like an area where you were cooking, or you tried to make an area for
the spot? Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. We've got a pretty big area now because people want to dance, and we usually team up with like a bar.
Okay.
And so we kind of create this place where people just go and stay. So they got food, they got music, and we're not anal DJs trying to educate people. We're DJs that want just people to dance, you know? So we play music for women. And if the women are dancing, the men stick around. And whenever they're drunk, we start playing, you know, all Foreigner and all the cheesy stuff for the men. But it's mainly about keeping women dancing, you know? So that's the key in life. Do not be afraid to play Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody, because that will always fill a dance floor.
DJ Barbecue says, keep the women dancing.
Well, it's women and gay people. They're the ones that will always dance, you know? Gay dudes love dancing, you know? And it's usually the same music that women dance to. And I'm not saying they all like the same music, but it's usually... The thing is, the best dancer in the world is the one having the most fun.
True.
And that's usually me when I'm really drunk.
Yeah. I think people just need to get over themselves and just dance.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So
this is what we try to do. We try to get them drunk on barbecue and drunk on booze and then drunk on good tunes. And plus I don't know if you've seen some of our videos, but our crew dances.
Yes.
Like, we've got big, hairy men with long beards who make charcoal for livings and are my crew are foragers. They're hunters. They're real, proper, gnarly dudes. But we love to just get crazy and sing to Foreigner, you know? If I can sing Jukebox Hero every day on tour, I'm a happy man.
No, that's fantastic. Well, so are you going to ever bring this to the United States? We need to bring this to the U.S.
Well, I've done lots of filming over there. So I've endorsed the Kid Rock line of cookers.
Okay.
Called the Badass Grill. So I was over in America for about a month filming for that.
Okay, I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
It's the American Badass Grill. Okay. It's made in America, all the components, which is really good.
Yeah.
That's the one good thing about, that's, you know, one of the good things that Kid Rock was really after for that. So I've endorsed that. And then I do a lot of filming there, but I have not, have I done any pop-ups over there? No, I haven't. But I would like to.
Got to set something up.
Yeah. I need to get back over there. It's just so busy over here, and I've been working on my second book, and that's kind of occupied all my time. Noah, say hi to Kevin. This is Kevin. That's my 13-year-old. Can you look him in the eye and say hi? Not just, why are you eating Weetabix? I'm about to make dinner, and I got a salad right here for you. You're not going to be even hungry.
Hey, what's your favorite thing to eat, Noah?
Salads or fish. Or noodles.
Salad, fish, or noodles. You're about to have fillet. Well, he did just eat the skirt, so that was good.
You don't have any you don't have any vegetarian children, do you?
I don't. I do preach less meat, but better quality meat with Providence. But I eat the way I've always eaten. It's always, you know, meat and two veg. That's kind of
how I
grew up.
Yeah. So when did you hook up with Jamie? Was that 3 years ago, or was that?
That was, I think, four years ago. Jamie's company had already done a pilot with me called Grills, Grills, Grills.
Okay.
It was me. It was kind of like Cribs meets like a cooking show, where I would go to Mick Jagger's home, and I'd go through his house and his records and his art. But then he would cook a recipe for me, and I could cook a recipe for him. But I got to kind of go into his crib. But at the end of every episode, the band that I was interviewing had to do a cover of Girls, Girls, Girls by either Motley Crue or Jay-Z, but sing Girls, Girls, Girls.
Awesome.
So the woman that Jamie started his whole empire with directed it. Okay. But none of the networks or brands knew me as the food guy. I was always the extreme sports guy.
Okay.
So then I was DJing Jamie's launch party for 15-Minute Meal Books, another multi-million, you know, selling book.
Yeah.
And Jamie finally met me, and he liked me, and I taught his wife how to DJ during the party. And then they started FooTube.
Okay.
And then they go, well, now we can give you history. And now FooTube is, what, 3.5 million subscribers,
yeah,
number one
huge
network in Europe, top five in the world. And I was the first guy on there to get signed up.
Oh, rad. Okay, cool.
That's how I got to meet Jamie, and then now we go snowboarding every year together, and he's a good friend.
Your first book came out, wasn't that? That was 2 years ago.
Three years ago, the barbecue book came out, went right to number one, which I couldn't believe. I was at Grill Stock. I've been smoking meat all night, drinking beer, and I was a bit bleary-eyed the next morning. I'm in a Tesco, a grocery store, and this charcoal maker that who's now one of my best mates was like, "You're DJ Barbecue," and I go, "Hi," and he goes, "I'm Matt. I make your charcoal," and I'm like, "Oh, cool." And then my phone buzzes, and it's Jamie Oliver saying, "How the f*** did you do that? You just knocked me off the number one spot on Amazon." He goes, "I have a primetime TV show running right now. You just knocked me off the top spot. Well done. I'm very proud of you." I go, "Jamie, your name's on the book bigger than mine. Thank you for helping me sell my book. Half those people reckon it's your book." And if you read the 1- and 2-star reviews on Amazon, they reckoned it was Jamie's book, and they were pissed off some guy called DJ Barbecue wrote it.
That's you got to do what you got to do, right?
Hey, I'm not saying no to royalty checks, man. As Jamie Oliver said to me, write books because they're pensions.
Oh, that's awesome. That's killer.
Same with music. If you're a band, write a Christmas single.
Oh, yeah, something.
Pension every year.
Or even do a movie that's a holiday movie. They play them every year. Yes. That's genius. That's the way you do it. I need to figure something out.
We need to start writing music, Kevin, and writing hit songs for the next Home Alone 8.
Exactly. Yeah. I've seen Two and a Half Men. Three and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men. I don't know. Which one.
Whatever. I don't watch it. I've seen episodes. So what got you to England, to the United Kingdom? What made you?
That's a good question. When I was making my snowboard movies, I was looking for distribution in Europe. So I got to London and I ended up where's my Nikiri? This is a much better blade for doing vegetables. This has got a 5,000-year-old bogwood oak handle. Like when I went to go make this knife, my friend, he collects them. He's like, "See if they got any prehistoric wood."
Something of beauty.
And that's, so I go, "You got any prehistoric wood?" They go, "Yeah, we got some that's carbonated 5,000 years ago." And I'm like, "I'll take that."
This is like talking to you during your cooking show. This is fantastic.
I'm good. There we go. I got hungry kids and friends here, man. I got a pizza. I got some Phyllis to cook.
Why did you leave the United States?
Oh, so I made a movie called Blindside out back in 93, 94, and I was looking for distribution. So I had some friends that I worked at. I worked at a 24-hour diner in Vail called DJ's Diner. And so I went I flew into Glasgow, and my friend Sue, who I worked in the kitchen with, her dad picked me up at the airport. Her family rebuilt London after the Blitz. They had one of the biggest building firms. Then all the money got sucked up by all the family. They all fought over all the money they made from the Blitz rebuild. And then her father started roofing himself to rebuild the company.
Whoa.
And are you making slime, dude? Is it slimy?
It's
slimy.
It's really hot, and it's non-Newtonian, so it's
solid
liquid.
It is.
Yeah, I can punch it.
You can punch. It's like custard. Custard does the same thing.
Yeah, but not like actual.
My kid's making slime. Okay, hold on. Give me a second. I'm doing an interview, but I like the fact you're making slime.
I like that he's making slime on the video too. This is all staying in.
Show him your slime.
It's looking pretty good.
It's white. It's not green yet.
No.
It's got a weird consistency.
Are you adding food coloring to it? Is that what you do to make it green?
You're going
to
add some food coloring?
Do we have any?
We don't have any.
No.
You're lucky you've got cornstarch. My brother had diarrhea. He had to go down to Sainsbury's to buy some diarrhea medicine. That wasn't me. I took him for Thai yesterday, and I don't think the food was all that good. So I came over here to get distribution for my first snowboard film.
Okay.
And then met a lot of the bands that I was working with on the soundtrack, and ended up meeting Jamiroquai. And I started directing music videos for Jamiroquai and a bunch of bands at Sony. And then I ended up getting an album and a movie deal with Sony.
Oh, wow.
Because of that.
Oh, wow.
So there's a video on YouTube called Light Years by Jamiroquai. And myself and Jack Bibbo and Jim Wedlake, my two partners at the time, we made that video.
Okay, I'll check it out.
And I told them I want to make snowboard films, you know, proper for a living. So we ended up getting a deal with them. And that kind of led on to my TV series, a couple more films. And then I met my ex-wife in a video with Oasis for Roll With It. So we were extras in the Roll With It video.
Oh, wow.
And then, now I'm living living back in London with my three kids, single dad, raising my boys. And,
You're living, what an interesting life you've led. Do you look back and go, what happened?
It's crazy, dude. You know, it's a fun existence. Oh, yeah. You know, my mom always said, never be normal because normal's boring.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. So how far along are you with your book?
I thought I finished it on Friday, but apparently I've already written it. I'm just proofreading it now.
Okay.
So it's pretty much done, but apparently I proofread the wrong copy.
That's great.
Yeah, I think my editor has been very patient with me because I've been trying to get my kids back into education. They hadn't gone to school for a while, so I've been trying to work on that. So
What's the main focus of this book, or is it a bridge from the last book, or?
It's a big move. So this one's, it's all about fire and the alchemy of wood and what happens when you break down and the combustion, the volatile that happen when you break down wood and the wood note flavors your food gets. You know, you just do not get those flavors from cooking on gas or any other way.
For sure.
You know, we've been cooking on gas for, you know, a century, really, maybe a bit more. But, you know, you go to Eastern Europe, most parts of the world, everything's over live fire.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, and to me, what's the point of coming outdoors if you're cooking with gas?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry for pissing off all those guys who spent, you know, $1,000 on that crazy gas grill. But really, stay indoors if you're going to cook on gas. If you're going to come outdoors, you want to get a raging fire going, you want to make some fresh charcoal, or you use some good lump wood, screw the briquettes because they got chemical binders, and you might think they're natural, but they ain't. They've got crazy stuff to hold that crap together. It might be 11 to 20% charcoal in those briquettes. They're crap. You got to use proper lump wood, or you make your charcoal fresh. You know, you cook down the woods and you make your coals like proper pits, you know, in Texas and in the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. And there's flavor when you do that. And that's really what I pontificate about in the book. I get excited about it. And then,
do you give technique too?
We talk about what I call a Death Star technique, which is the, you know, charcoal on both sides, nothing in the middle.
That's what I was going to say.
That episode of Star Wars, you know, when Luke Skywalker goes into the alley and what does Obi-Wan say? Use the Force, Luke. Uh-huh. He gets rid of all the gadgets. He sends the two shots down the exhaust pipe and blows up the Death Star, gets the girl, ends up sucking face to the girl and finds out it's his sister. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Twisted, yes.
It does. But luckily, Han Solo moves in and they have Kylo Ren and it goes bad again. And you get the exact same Star Wars film on the new one.
And in one week, we have a new one coming.
We have a new, well, you know, Felicity Jones, we taught her how to snowboard. We did a movie with her called Chalet Girl.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, and then Ed Westwick's in it. Now, Ed Westwick went Harvey Weinstein, so now no one was going to watch my only film. I did steal his sunglasses, so I got that going for me. Don't tell him I stole Ed Westwick's sunglasses.
That'll be bleeped out of this.
No, you can leave it in there. I don't give a shit. He's in the fucking, you know, Be Bad to Women. That dude.
Okay, very good. I agree. So Jin Erso, Jin from Rogue One, you taught her how to snowboard?
Yeah, it was a snowmantic comedy with Bill Nighy, Bill Bailey, Brooke Shields. I had more lines than Brooke Shields, which I was pretty stoked on. And we taught Jin how to shred.
Oh, but, that's killer.
My friend James and another friend of mine did all her stunt work. So yeah. Anyway,
So the book, the Death Star, the technique you.
Yeah, so that's called the Heat Canyon because Lucas put a stop on me calling it Death Star.
For real?
And then
lovely.
And then I've got the main technique I was trying to explain to you is the one I kind of tell everybody. I think I use it 90% is half and half. So charcoal on one side, no charcoal on the other. That way, you can get your sear, you can get the mallard effect, the caramelization, and then you've got the goof-proof zone. Because we drink beer when we cook barbecue. So my whole thing is I don't want to make it taxing. I want to make sure you can get the best food you can by cooking over live fire. I know cooking over live fire can be daunting. But once you get to understand your grill and your fuel, you're going to cook a much better, it's going to be better tasting. And you know, food cooked over a fire tastes better.
It tastes better, and the more you do it, the better it'll get while you're drunk. Like, it's...
Exactly. So you can get drunker when you cook barbecue.
Exactly.
And, you know, you just... Once you get the color, yeah, you move to the indirect side, you put the lid on, you turn your outdoor grill into an outdoor oven, and you've got killer succulent chicken. You've got killer steaks, you know, cooked to 54 degrees Celsius on the internal, so it's perfectly medium rare.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not doing my Fahrenheit numbers for you because I've gone metric since I've been living over in the UK for 20 years.
I'll try to put that into, I'll put that again in the show notes.
Yeah, 54.7 or 55 is my magic number for pulling steaks, and that's in the Celsius.
Okay, I'll make a note of that. So, what is your favorite? I know it's hard to choose. What's your favorite cut of meat?
Oh.
Or what do you crave the most?
I think my death row meal would be a ribeye steak.
Okay.
Or my dad's flank steak marinated in Italian dressing. I've got one in the fridge right now, you know, with my Paul Newman's Italian dressing. This is total Iowa stuff.
Nice.
Other dressings are available.
The Italian dressing.
Yeah, the Italian
dressing.
There's
something special about that. No, you could do that with a lot of different meats. I've done that with pork, too.
You've done Italian dressing with pork?
Yeah, I tried it. Yeah, one time. Like,
did it work?
It did work. It was a little acidic. Like, it was a little bit too, yeah.
You're too tangy.
Yeah, too tangy. But it worked. But it kept it moist, but it was a little too acidic, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it works great on a cut of flank. I think that's like the perfect way of using it. It's just a, yeah, flank. My favorite thing with pork fillet is to do soy sauce, brown sugar, and garlic. Real simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe some olive oil in there, and then it's almost like doing teriyaki, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's like, yeah, like stepped up teriyaki.
It stepped up teriyaki, yeah. But I think the ribeye, because, you know, it's just got the right fat content. I want a cow that's lived to 4 to 6 months. Nothing wrong with your 18-month-old cow, Sarah, but I prefer a four to six-year-old. Or give me like a 10 to 17-year-old dairy cow. Like, I have a friend who I think is the best butcher in the country. He buys everything straight from the farms. He's called Nathan Mills.
Oh, Nathan
Mills,
yeah.
A surfing Aussie who lives around the corner from me. And he, you know, you go to his work. Dry aging all the meat, there's 30 cows in there, and he can tell you every farmer how what they eat, how they're raised, how they're, you know, they've all got passports, and they're beautiful animals, and they've been humanely raised, happy cows,
yeah.
And that's to me the most important thing. I was talking to a guy who raises these Galician and Basque Country cows. And I had one at Meatopia. That's the big meat festival.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope over here. And it was a 17-year-old dairy cow. And the fat was that high on it. And it was just yellow.
that's a gorgeous thing.
Everybody's like, you know, what's the breed? What's the dry aging? He goes, I don't care. This
you don't need to
is that. A happy cow. It has lived a good, long life. And I think the dry aging is 14 days. Same as Bruce Phillips, right? Yeah. He was all about the cow living a good life.
The cow itself.
Yeah, and the fat content.
Wow.
And it was gorgeous. I mean, you know, I put aged beef fat in my burgers, and they, you know, they make them even more supercharged. bone marrow, suet, and aged beef fat. Oh, 30% of that in my beef blend, you know?
Oh, that's just perfect. That's awesome. So what else do we need to know about you to wrap it up? What else do we maybe do people in the United States? Well, people see this globally, but what do people maybe they don't know about you, but they should know, or do they already know? Are you an open book? So they already know.
I mean, I give everything away on my YouTube channel. I think that we've got 200 videos on my YouTube channel. Okay. There's about over 100 I've done for the FoodTube channel.
Okay.
I don't take myself too seriously. I don't wear chef whites. I mean, I know I piss off a lot of people by wearing spandex, but I just think, you know, the whole chefing world has gone a bit too serious, and, you know, food's about fun, friends, and family, and I just try to celebrate that and educate people on how to cook over live fire. And the thing is, I'm learning myself every single day. That's why I travel the earth. I go to Pakistan, I go to Ecuador, I go to Japan, I go all over the world, you know, Brazil, just to see how people handle their live fire. You know, I really want to start doing more in Georgia, Azerbaijan, more towards way Eastern Europe, because they're still cooking over live fire. A friend of mine, Alia Hercules, did these chicken, spatchcock chickens on a plancha, but she cook down some lamb fat on the plancha first and cook them in lamb fat, which is my favorite fat.
Oh, it's a great fat, yeah.
Oh, well, my friends have done they brought this lamb back from kind of the rare breed list? Shropshire lamb. And it was some of the best, you know, I could marry lamb fat, you know. That to me is the best tasting of all. I had these lamb ribs in on the Uruguay border of Brazil, and
I think that lamb is not looked upon the way it should be. It's definitely, it seems like the third, fourth, fifth option, sadly.
That should be the top two. Oil. I know beef's oil, but man, to me, lamb fat. Yeah. It's on all the other fats. You know, you know, give me mutton, give me hog it, give me a lamb that's gone. You know. Past lamb, you know, lamb's got flavor.
It's intense flavor too. It's like rich.
It's a bit more intense
in a good way. In the best way.
It also depends on how it's raised.
Well,
what
that's true.
Is it eating ground ivy or, you know, red clover? What are the nutrients it's eating? True. You know, it's how it's raised, how it's slaughtered. You know,
I take that back. I haven't had enough lamb in my life to really be to know it in that detail.
Kevin, come over to the UK. Remember, everything is grass-fed. Everything's dynamic. I mean, they do have a little bit of grain to get them through the winter, but you have a dynamic-tasting meat over here. And I love American corn-fed, but it's all kind of the same. And I prefer a grass-fed animal over a corn-fed or grain-fed animal because that's what I want. So, yeah, that's me. I try to teach people how to cook barbecue. I want people to have fun. I want people to have a dance. I want people to, you know, drink some beer. Eat good food, and hopefully when everybody's drunk, someone's sucking face with somebody else and having a good time.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you.
Because what's the quickest way to someone's heart, Kevin?
Food.
And music.
And music. And music and dancing. And dancing. Dancing.
Entertainment, dude.
Happiness. Yeah, all those things. All those things boil down to happiness and make you happy. So it's well, thank you so much. You're a total inspiration, and I love your attitude. No, seriously, I love your attitude. Hey, don't.
Keep it up.
Yeah. Oh, that meant keep talking. You're an inspiration.
Inspiration. Show Kevin your slime. It's looking good. Give Kevin that good shot of the slime. Here we go.
Well, I'll end it with the slime.
End it with the slime.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you, guys. And thank you for the slime. That's inspirational slime.
You haven't seen white slime before,
no,
man.
No, I have not. All right, well, have a great evening. It was great talking to you. I'll shoot you over an email when I get it edited.
All right, Kevin, man, thanks for the time, and I appreciate you getting slime all over the floor, bro, and I might shoot.
All right, take it easy. All right, cool.
Bye, buddy. Bye. See ya.